This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Texans GM Brian Gain right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610.
First I'd like to start out by just to thank some groups of people here. It's an exciting time to be in player personnel and scouting and to be involved in the football operation here, but just a lot of people to thank behind the scenes. You know, the scouts obviously been out there on the road since August, grinding away, sacrificing, and countless hours and days spent on the road away from their families. The coaching staff pairing with them here from January here all the way through April. Time spent on the evaluations, they were out on the road for us as well, the trainers and the docs, their commitment to providing us the medical evaluations, and just the support staff. There's a ton of people behind the scenes who really help us arrive here to this point in time. So just a lot of gratitude and appreciation to the staff to be here at this moment right now. So we're very excited in terms of our scouting operation, our player personnel operation, the coaching staff. We have four picks here in the top 86. So we get four selections here in the top three rounds. We're going to get four very good players as it relates to that. We have seven picks overall. We're certainly excited about that. So ready to go to work, and we'll let the board speak for itself and let the board talk to us. So with that said, if you have any questions.
How would you describe in general some areas of need right now?
So as it relates to philosophy, Mark, I would say from our standpoint, we're always going to do what we can to improve the team at any position, okay? We're focused more, not so much on need in the draft process, but we're focused on the actual process, all right? Get the board right, rank it correctly, and really let the board speak for itself. So our focus is more about our preparation and the process of how we arrive to those decisions. So those conversations have already happened, and they're still happening to this date as it relates to how the board will be finished. But the board will speak for itself. The board will speak to us about the next best player to pick. If it happens to be a position of need or perceived need, and it happens to be the next best player on the board, those are the best selections, obviously, when it meets both of those. But we will make sure that the board speaks to us as it relates to whoever we pick when we're on the clock.
All right, when you look at what you do in free agency, you always want to go to the draft where you don't have a glaring need. You have already fortified your roster. Do you feel good about some of the things you did in free agency to make it where, like you say, you can't take the best players?
Correct. We were able to address some situations in free agency, and free agency is certainly more of a needs-driven environment. And we felt like we were able to add some pieces to the puzzle here to help us come into this draft and to be in position to take the next best player. So we're pleased with some of the things we did in free agency. And now we're positioned here in the draft, I think, to go back to this, just to get four players in the top 86. We hope at some point in time all four of those players would be starters or eventual starters if you're drafting them in the first three rounds. So we have an opportunity here, and we have every intention of getting it right, to potentially get four new starters here in 7 days' time. I'm sorry, Sarah. I think there's varying portions in this draft at tackle where you could get a starting caliber player both in day one or day two. I think there's some contributing level players there in the mid rounds where they could be versatile swing players for you. There's some players at various portions in this draft at tackle where you see some flexibility to go play guard. So when you're thinking about managing your game day roster, there's seven players who dress. Some of those mid round tackles have the ability, we think, maybe to be possible tackle guard types. So you save a spot as it relates to special teams. So I think there's some varying points, obviously, first round, day two. And then there's portions in day three, the early portion of day three, where you can get some of those versatile swing guys when you're dressing only seven for game day.
Brian, the quarterback position, I feel like this is one where there's a lot of depth at the spot of the draft, and it doesn't sound like a lot of guys maybe are going to go in the first round, but it sounds like a ton might go in the second or third.
At corner? Yeah, I think there's varying portions in this draft where, you know, look, is there a Patrick Peterson, like an elite corner in this draft? You know, maybe not, okay. But what I would say is they're starting caliber players in this draft, both in day one and day two, inclusive of the second and third round. And you might be able even to extend that to day four, the early portion of day four. So I think there is a lot of volume. There's guys who have outside skill sets. There's guys who have inside skill sets. And there's a few players in this draft, I think, that offer the versatility to be either or. You know, you've heard me say this before. We're going to try to acquire as much versatility as we can. The best players who are also the most versatile to help save some of those roster spots when you're only dressing 46.
Could you address your philosophy in terms of trading up to get a player you may want versus trading back to get more players?
I think every situation is different, Mark, you know, when it comes to supply and demand. If there's certainly a player that's falling draft down the draft board, we evaluate every transaction that occurs. I think if there's value on the board and that player is dropping and you had a high value on them and a high grade and you trust your process and that player is starting to slide down the board, perhaps that's worth the conversation, maybe if you have to go up and get them. I think conservatively speaking, I would always lend more towards accumulating more picks, more at-bats, more volume, more opportunities to take more players.
Because you have the 2 second-round picks and then you also have the possibility of trading back down to the second round. Do you feel like that's a pretty strong part of this draft?
Yeah, the second round has a lot of great value, I think, this year. I think there's great value from where we're picking from 23 all the way down to where we're picking at 54. And Sarah, if we sat still and didn't do anything at 54 and 55, we're going to get two very good players just based on our counts, kind of when we look at basically the top 60 players in this draft. I'm excited about the idea of getting at least three of those players if we just stood still, and I think we're going to get two very good players at 54 or 55 if we just sat there and took those players.
What are the things that you value in evaluating cornerbacks for the Houston Texans in your particular scheme?
Cornerbacks? So first and foremost, you know, obviously system fit, scheme fit. You know, how do they fit to what we're going to ask our cornerbacks to do, man coverage versus zone coverage, the importance of height, weight, speed at the position. We certainly have prototypical parameters that we have for every position, and we have those individually for corner as well. So we evaluate their skill set in man coverage, evaluate their skill set in zone coverage, their ability to run support, their versatility to play outside or inside. Can they play off? Can they play press? Or can they do one or the other? And when we get them, we try to make sure we play to their strengths. That's critically important. But if you're not in the top three, meaning if you're not a starting corner, or you're not the second corner, or you're not the third guy playing situational football, what special teams value do you have on fourth down? Because that's their ticket to ride then if they're going to the game when you're dressing 46. So any of the skill or big skill positions, if you're not going to be in the starting lineup or be in the contributing role, then what value do you bring on fourth down? So when it comes to fourth down, we're looking for speed, range, athleticism, the ability to cover ground, the ability to make tackles in space. So there's a lot that goes into it. That's a very good question because, number one, it has to be a system fit. Number two, we're looking for certain parameters in height, weight, speed. You know, number three, starter versus situational. And then number four, what do they do for you on fourth down?
You're listening to Texans general manager Brian Game, 1 week away from the NFL draft.
Small roster size on game day, and then there's issues with, you know, sometimes players have to leave with concussions, and you know, you value that versatility, but how do you balance that with the risk that, you know, you have, you know, jack of all trades and a master of none, and that they don't get really good at a particular position?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, because even if they're the fourth corner, just staying on corner, you know, they're an injury away from having to go play in the game. So we want our cake and eat it too. You don't want that player to be an upside player who has a chance to go in and play in the game when and if you need him, but also provide us the value on fourth down if they're not going to be playing in those roles. We only get 7 selections, and I like to think that we can find 7 players in the draft process who would fit all that criteria for us.
The guys are back in the building now. Do you have a chance to see them, be around them? See some of the guys, including like Deontay Foreman, the kind of shape they came back in, the work they put in up to get to this point?
Yeah, just using Deontay in this example, he's come back in good shape. You know, he had an unfortunate situation, very difficult injury to return from as it relates to the running back position. So we're pleased with his progress, and it looks like he has put in the time and the commitment to be ready to go when we got back here for the first day of the offseason program. So I've been pleased with what I've seen, but there's a lot of football left to be played. There's a lot of offseason left to complete, but so far so good in terms of getting off on the right foot.
Right. How much does the synergy with you and Bill help this process preparing the ready for the draft?
Yeah, it's critically important to have that with the head coach in terms of how we want to build the football program, number one, how we want to build out football philosophy, football systems. But when it comes to player personnel in this process, as it relates to the draft, just being able to see players through the same prism of eyes, through the same prism of glasses that you wear. And look, there's going to be times and places where he may see something that I don't, or I may see something that he doesn't. But we conversate and develop those conversations on a daily basis. We meet on a daily basis here as we're getting to the final stages of our pre-draft process. But I would just say that there's just a whole lot of common ground with how Coach O'Brien and I see players and then how they fit into our system and how they fit into our program. And there's a degree of trust, though, that we both understand what types of players and what kinds of guys that we're looking for our program.
Are you still hopeful that you'll get along with the other?
Yes, and that's the spirit of the franchise tag. You know, there's a reason why we did that, and with every hope and intention of continue to work on that. And that's a negotiation. You know, it's a process. It has to be a deal that makes sense for both sides, for the player, for the organization, as it relates to short-term and long-term. So that's still the plan.
Free agents have become a really important part of the league and the leaders throughout the league. What is the pitch that you give to undrafted free agents to come to the Texans?
That's a great question. I love the undrafted free agent process. I was one of them. We call it the eighth round. You know, we extend the draft, and you only get seven selections now. And, you know, the old days when it went on for rounds and rounds, a lot of these players end up making teams, or they give a very good, they've put in a very good position to go compete and make a team. You know, we have a very unique circumstance here where we can advertise and sell, I think, to a lot of undrafted free agents and point to examples of players that we've signed that have made our team as undrafted free agents and played contributing roles. There's a lot of examples of that. So we spend a lot of time and energy on that process and how we prepare for it so that if and when these players go undrafted, you know, we're able to execute those moves and those acquisitions that are readily available to us as soon as the draft is over. So we spend a lot of time in the two or three months prior to that. I would even go back to the month of December where we're strategizing and ranking and prioritizing the players that we might see who could get to the priority free agent market so that we're ready to go when that time comes and we know exactly who the priority players are.
What do you like about Gibson?
Deshaun Gibson. So Deshaun Gibson's a veteran player who's played in this division. We played him twice a year. He offers the height, weight, speed we like at the position. His versatility, when you watch the tape, he has the ability to play zone, but also man coverage. He's played a lot of man coverage versus tight ends. That's an area and strength that we wanted to improve at the position. We think also his skill set complements Justin Reed very well if those two guys are going to be our starters. He's been a durable player. He's been an available player. He's been a productive guy. There's a lot of things that you can do with him, Sarah. You can play him from depth. You can play him from down in the box. He's active in run support. He's just a steady, dependable, produced, productive player.
Adorable or durable? Texans GM Brian Gain meeting with the media right here on Sports Radio 610.
Process or maybe readings that you would add later down the line.
Just to speak about Andre Howe briefly, and I haven't had a chance to address this publicly. I've told this to Andre on a personal and professional level. Andre Howe was an inspiration to a lot of people based on what he overcame and how he came back to play pro football. Number two, Andre Howe is a great story. He was a seventh-round draft pick who played corner, who we moved to safety and became an NFL starter. I mean, they should write a book about that. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's been able to accomplish in such a short period here in the NFL. But losing Andre hurts your depth a little bit. But we have some young players here that are going to be given a great opportunity, all right, to come in and to compete for spots at safety number three and four. Right now, going into the season, we think Gibson and Justin Reed will be our starters. But we're always trying to look and improve our depth, Sarah. So we'll look towards the draft here to see if there's any possibilities to do that. We'll continue to evaluate what we have. And if we feel like we have to do something to address that situation down the road via veteran free agency, I think that would be more of a post-draft discussion than a now discussion.
All right, how special was it that he said he wanted to let you guys know in plenty of time so attack it draft-wise if you want to?
I think it speaks for itself, Mark. I mean, that speaks to the character of the individual. I mean, I think that speaks for itself that his thought process thought that way. So Andre Howell is going to be successful at whatever thing he turns to in the rest of his life, and I'm just curious what that's going to be because he's going to succeed.
You mentioned getting four starters in those four picks in the top 86. People in this room are going to bring it up again, but how do you measure different players in the draft in terms of the timetable of when they can become a starter. And, you know, can you draft a guy in the top three rounds who you know can get there but probably will take 2 years or 3 years as opposed to an early round guy you want to start
against? Yeah, that's a good question. So first and foremost, I have a lot of trust in our player development process. In terms of getting a player for now, here's what he is year one. Here's where he projects to maybe be year two. This is what he can grow to year three. Maybe here's his ceiling if everything goes right. But we have the apparatus in place, and I firmly believe that from our strength and conditioning operation to how our coaches coach and how they develop them in the classroom, our player development entity, what we do in the cafe, the resources that are here for our players to develop and ascend, we feel like the apparatus is in place, number one. Number two, there is an emphasis on football and personal character when it comes to a player reaching his ceiling. Because if they have all the physical traits, I'm going to bet on the fact that if they have the right personal and football character, those two meshing with the physical qualities will allow them to reach their ceiling. The other portion of that is just from our grading system. If you're taking a guy in the first round, you're anticipating them being an impactful starter or being a starter. Taking a guy in the second round, you're hoping he's going to start pretty quickly, but at least be an eventual starter. If you're taking a guy in a third round, I think you're hoping that he's going to at least be a contributing player early on, depending on what his position is. But he might have longer range potential to start. So in my mind, I'm thinking if I'm taking these players at least in the first three rounds, at some point we should be acquiring potential starters. Obviously, the earlier, more emphasis, the latter being eventually at that stage. So that's kind of how we think through those things.
Do you have an idea of where Will Fuller is in his recovery?
Everything's going well with Will. I won't speak to specifics, but I anticipate when we kick off versus New Orleans, like, he'll be ready to go and he'll be at full speed by then. And I'm sure through the preseason, you know, we'll be smart and efficient with him as it relates to getting him right. But everything has gone well, been no setbacks, been very positive. Everything is trending in the right direction. He's been here the whole off season. He's looking good. He's, you know, mind and spirit, body, everything's going well for Will, and we're excited about seeing him get back on the field.
Ryan, did anything in specific jump out to you about the schedule? So if you released yesterday, we got a chance to look at it.
Yeah, the schedule is what it is. Obviously, a lot of challenges. There's 16 challenges on there. You know, opening up on the road on Monday night versus New Orleans is going to be a big football game. You know, what comes to mind with me, Mark, and you've heard me say it last year, is just it's singular purpose. It's 1 week at a time. I think it's part of the reason why we won 11 games last year under our circumstances is we just stayed in the moment. One game at a time, you just chip away, and you're just thinking about that team. So whoever's on our schedule is on our schedule. You know, they're paid professionals just like we are, and we're going to go out and try to win those games just like they are. A lot of good competition on that schedule. It's hard to win in the league, so we're going to put a lot of time and preparation in the offseason to start getting ready for those games. So it's exciting, though, when you do see the schedule. We finally have the plan in place and the blueprints in place. And there's no hypotheticals, there's no guessing, so I'm excited about the season to come.
You're listening to Texans GM Brian Gain meeting with the media 1 week before the draft right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610.
When you have a guy like that that you can continue to build on and count on as he continues in his career, what does that mean to you guys?
There's a lot of value with that. You know, first of all, JJ's a great player. Number two, JJ's a leader. You know, just having his leadership here and his production, obviously the production certainly matters as well. But having a guy that maybe feels invested in the program here, he's laid a lot of groundwork here. And I'm sure, like, he wants to win a Super Bowl and win championships before, you know, he ever exits the game. We all want that. But it's certainly good to hear that that's his pursuits, because we need his leadership, we need his production, we need his participation. Having a great guy in the locker room, an example to follow for our younger players. So there's certainly value to that, intangible value to that.
What did you learn going through the process last year for the first time as a GM, and what takeaways do you have going into it this year with obviously four premium picks in the first few rounds?
Yeah, what I learned is it's hard to wait for two rounds until you can pick a player in the third round. You do a lot of watching. But what I learned is a lot about the process, you know, just having a full calendar season to start this process. And what I mean by that is really going back to last June when you get your draft list. You start basically in June. You build out your process of how you're going to calendar out in terms of how we're going to do all these school visits, where the prospects are. You're doing that all through the summer months. And then our scouts all depart in the month of August, hitting the two-a-day practices, putting the plan together through the month of fall about where we're going, the A schools, the B schools, the C schools, the A, B, C prospects, going through the season and then doing this all with the guys and with the staff for a full calendar year was very enjoyable. And it's nice just to see the plan come to fruition here where we're at the finish line, to have that one full year with the staff.
Plans, you finally got to put together your own plan. You've been in a number of other places. Is there a particular one? I know you probably got bits and pieces from everywhere you've been, but is there one that you think your style or what you anticipate putting in for you is more similar to it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say in all my experiences, I've just been very fortunate and lucky to have been around some great, great football minds and great football people. I say that with great humility. I've learned something from each one of them to kind of make it ours, to make it our own. Blend it with Coach O'Brien's, and it's a very seamless transition for the two of us to do that. But, you know, I got hired in the league by a gentleman by the name of Dick Haley. And Dick Haley hired me at the New York Jets in 1999. He was one of the scouting directors for the famed Steelers 1970 dynasty years. And the foundation that I learned about scouting and player personnel, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him as somebody who's been very influential in my career. Well, you heard me say it earlier, Sari. Like, first and foremost, you know, there's requisite height, weight, speed we're looking for at the safety position and corner position, and equally the nickel position. You know, in an ideal situation, we would love to have interchangeable skill sets at safety, where hey, they can play strong and free and strong. And the more versatility that maybe they have to come down and play in the slot, play man coverage, and play nickel, that's great. You know, a corner, we're looking for a certain requisite height, weight, speed as well. But can you play off? Can you play man? Can you play zone? Like corners who have instincts. I like guys who have recovery speed. We like guys who can make plays on the ball to get off the field on third down. Like guys who can run support. I mean, we're looking for everything. You know, I'm really not looking for any limitations. I'd like to think if I'm getting seven chances to take players, that out of those seven opportunities and the 15,000 evaluations we've done, we can find seven players that fit all those criteria.
Talk to you about the draft this year, and last year you're big on the height, weight, speed. Is that something that you just have seen in the past, that when you grade players who have done well, they fit this certain criteria?
Well, first and foremost, we want good football players. All right, that's first and foremost. We want to find the best football players that we can find. The second thing is we want good people. We want good guys with good character and good personal and football character, who love playing football and embrace the process. But the other portion of that, Sarah, is like, we are looking for a requisite height, weight, speed at specific positions, because that's who they're playing against every Sunday. They're playing against somebody who has maybe perhaps a similar skill set across from them. I mean, these are the best of the best, and the best of the best have the highest height, have the highest weight, and the highest speed. So the game boils down very often to matchup football. And we never want to be deficient in terms of being in certain matchups that we can't handle because we don't have the requisite height, the weight, and speed. It really boils down to matchups.
Where do you see Matt Khalil filling out your roster?
So we signed and brought Matt here on a one-year deal in a compete-to-start role. I've said this when we first got Matt. You know, he was a documented four-year starter at tackle at two different organizations, had some bad luck in 16 with some injuries, but he rebounded and played a full 16-game season in the 2017 season, plus the playoff game versus the Saints, and unfortunately he had his knee issue this past year. So we're hoping that if Matt returns to form, that we have a potential starting caliber player here in the building. It's a one-year deal. It's an opportunity for him to prove it. It's an opportunity for us to evaluate it. He's going to compete to start here with Julian Davenport, and the best player will get the job. All right, very good. Thank you.
It's Texans GM Brian Gain. Not sure if I wanted to end it with him being open to a left tackle battle between Matt Khalil and Julian Davenport, but, you know, to each his own, J-Lo.
Hey, he's the general manager, man.
I got to tell you this. We've had some fun with Mike Meltzer loving Ryan Pressly. Find someone that loves you as much as Mike Meltzer loves Ryan Pressly, as much as Brian Gain loves the second round and the free agent rookie process.
I will tell you this and follow up when we come back. But the one takeaway I have from that press conference has solidified one of my opinions in stone. Stone.
It's a hell of a tease. We'll get into that and talk to Gerard Johnson next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.